And so Revelation chapter 5 tonight, and we'll read verses 11 down through verse number 14. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that is slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. 2 weeks ago we considered the new song sung by the 24 elders and the four beasts as they worshiped before the Lamb of God and before the throne of God. That was the lesson 2 weeks ago. The song that they sang, the new song that they sang, was for the purpose of acknowledging the worthiness of Jesus to open the book and with power to redeem the earth back for His children. We spent the greater portion of the lesson by looking at three areas in which our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. Why He is worthy. Why He is worthy to open the book. Why He is worthy to redeem the earth back. And the three main points last time we were here are this. First of all, we noticed in our text that He is worthy because He was slain and is alive. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has supernatural power over life and death. The second point we looked at last time is that He is worthy because He redeemed man from every corner of the earth. That is, that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, has saving power over sin and over sinners. And the third reason we saw that He was worthy to loose the seals of the book and to open the book and to redeem this world back for His children, thirdly, is because He is worthy because He appointed men as kings and priests. In other words, He has sovereign power over kings and priests. And so these are the three main reasons why He is considered to be worthy. The new song covered these three reasons. His supernatural power over life and death, His saving power over sin and sinners, and His sovereign power over kings and priests. Now let's go into new territory here. Revelation chapter 5. And verse number 11. John says this, And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So after this new song was sung about the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, John describes, what I would call maybe a short doxology. There are actually two short doxologies that follow this short song. All right, the first doxology, the first time we see this, is with a great number of angels joining the 24 elders and the four beasts. Now, the number here gives us an idea, but it is nowhere specific. The number of angels, John tells us, is 100 million angels, and then he tacks on thousands and thousands. And so we were not meant to know the exact number of angels that joined this doxology, But we are meant to know that it is a lot. He said 10,000 angels times 10,000, that is 100 million. And then he goes on and says thousands and thousands. And so after the 24 elders and the four beasts sing their song of the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, a short song, a new song, then hundreds of thousands of angels pitch in, join in, for a very brief doxology. The second doxology that we see here is then joined by every creature in heaven and every creature on the earth and every creature under the earth joins in this second doxology. Here's the first one. Verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now there are many, many reasons that Jesus Christ is to be praised. Many, 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 many reasons why Jesus Christ should be worshipped, should be honored, and should be praised. As the creator of this world, the entire world, many millennia ago, he should be praised. As the creator of this entire world, he should be praised. Not only that, but as the king of all the earth in the millennia in the future is another reason why we should praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me so far? Are you following me? They say here, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I say there are many reasons to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. One is we praise Him as the Creator of the entire world. Second, we could praise Him as the King of all the earth in the future. But the greatest reason for you and I to praise the Lord Jesus Christ is what I would call the centerpiece of His great works. And that is the Savior of sinners nearly 2,000 years ago. All right, listen, we look at Him as the creator of the entire world, and that is ample reason to praise Him. We look at Him as the coming King of all the earth, and that is ample reason to praise Him. But I say tonight the best reason to praise Him, the centerpiece of all of His work, is not the creator of the entire world, not the King of all the earth, but the centerpiece of all of His work is the Savior of repentant sinners. And that's why we ought to praise Him. Now, I want you to bear with me this evening. I struggled for many hours with verse number 12. And I want to throw out a couple of ideas to you. As I read verse number 12, and it says here that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive wisdom. To receive strength. To receive honor. To receive glory. And to receive blessing. That perplexed me. It stumped me. In our minds, receiving almost always means that we are presented with something. If you receive something, it is presented to you. And had the Bible just said that the Lamb was worthy to receive honor, glory, and blessing, I wouldn't have been perplexed. I would have said, well, yes, He should receive honor from us, and He should receive glory from us, and he should receive blessings from us, or praise from us. But what stumped me was it talked about him receiving power. Well, he's not going to receive power from us. We're not going to give him power. And he's not going to receive riches from us. We do not present Christ with riches. He's not going to receive wisdom and strength from us. We don't present this to Christ. The common idea, and I want to kind of tie this in at the end. The common idea is that God presents these things to his Son as a reward for his faithful work on Calvary. That's what most commentators say about this. That Christ is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. He receives that as a gift from his Father for his finished work on Calvary. But I've thought about this quite a bit. And I believe that there is a possibility that there is more in this verse than meets the eye. I've studied this, and I've maybe come up with something that is more consistent with the context. And I just want you to listen and to think about this, and you can go on your way here in a little bit and make your own conclusion. I've searched through a lot of sources and concluded that I might be the only one with this thought, and that kind of worries me. If someone agrees with me on this, I'm certainly not aware of it. But I spent a lot of time looking at that word receive, because that bothered me, that Christ would receive something. Okay, if it was receive honor and glory, well then I can understand that. We would present the Lord Jesus Christ honor, and he would receive it, and we would present him glory, and he would receive that, and that would have made sense. But him receiving power and wisdom, that didn't make sense to me. And the idea that God gave it to him, I wasn't totally convinced about that. And so I looked at the word receive. And words are fascinating. I love words. They are fascinating. I enjoy dictionaries. I enjoy reading them. I'm in a dictionary almost every day. And I looked at the word receive, and I went to the origin of the word receive. The word receive came into our English language about 1300. Well, it originated in about 1300, and it began to form itself into our receive in our language. But here's the original origin of the word receive is two parts, re and sieve, and it means to take back. To take back. To take back. If you were to look at the Greek word used here in your King James Bible, and you went into a Greek, used the Strong's Concordance, and look at the Greek word is lambano. Lambano. And this word lambano belongs to word groups such as this. To take hold of. To grasp. To catch. To take over. To seize. To take back. To claim. Lambano is a Greek word that is used in classic literature. And in classic literature, the word lambano, if you were to read Greek classic literature, the word lambano is used this way. To take by violence. To carry off as a prize or a booty. To capture a city. To exact punishment. To seize or to possess. By a deity. And so, while the word lambano does have a passive meaning, where you just stand there and receive, someone hands it to you and you just stand there and take it, that's passive. Okay? You're not doing anything. You're just standing there with your hands out and they put it in your hands. That's receiving something. I mean, if I said, here's a $100 bill, you would hold your hand out and I would put it in your hand. And you just stand there passively receiving it. But the word also has an active meaning. To go get and to go seize and to get back. To take over. To capture. To take by violence. And so there is not only a passive receive, but there is an active receive. There's a passive receive where you just stand here and hold your hand out and someone gives you something. And there's an active receive where you go get it. As I said, that's the original meaning of the word. To take back. If I chase you down and wrestle something from your grasp, I've received it. I've taken it back. Now, the word lambano in the Greek can be taken passively or it can be taken actively. And I suggest to you this evening that when this first doxology is repeated by the hundreds of millions of angels and the 24 elders and the four beasts, I suggest that they are referring to Jesus being worthy to take back by force all of the world's power. And to take back by force all the world's riches. Because you see, that is our context. And that has been the context in all of chapter 5. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, taking back the earth. This earth is under a curse. It groans and cries under a curse. It heaves under a curse. You and I will never be able to take this world back. If we thought we could take this world back, you have to understand that we are rapidly losing ground. Christians are fast becoming a minority, and they're fast becoming a minority even in our country. If we think as Christians that we are going to take back the earth, we are sadly duped. The only way that this world will be taken back, having been lost by Adam, the only way that it will be taken back is by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when it says here, He is worthy to receive power, I suggest to you that He is worthy and able to take by force all of the world's power, all of the world's riches, all of the world's wisdom, all of the world's strength, all of the world's honor, glory, and blessings. Our Lord Jesus Christ is able to take it back by force. I suggest that because I believe it is the context. And I suggest it because of the word receive can be active as well as passive. Now here's maybe how it works. The Lord Jesus Christ takes it by force. All of the world's power He takes. And He will. This world has power. The world has much more power than what Christians have. A lot more power than what Christians have. The world has power. The world has riches and wealth. The world has a strength. They have a wisdom, a worldly wisdom. They have honor in which they bestow upon one another. They have glory. This world has its own glory. And I submit to you that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, is worthy to take all of these things back by force. He will subdue all the world's power. He will own all of the world's riches. All of the world's wisdom will be put under submission. All of the world's strength will be crumbled. He will take it all back by force. And now here is the suggestion that once he takes it back by force, he presents this to his father, and his father in turn presents it back to his son. And that would be passive. I suggest to you that Jesus Christ will take back this world by force, and that his father will give it to him passively. And Christ will receive it. I tried to think of an illustration. I suppose if I had started earlier and tried harder, I might have been able to come up with an illustration. But I think in my mind of an example. I can't give you a true life example, but I think in my mind of an example about a young warrior, a young prince, who rides out in the name of his father, the king, and he rides out with great armies, and he captures many enemies, and he plants his flag upon many lands, and he comes back to his father, the king, and presents his father with prisoners of war, presents his father with great treasures, presents his father with great glory, presents his father with great lands, and says, "Here, Father, I have captured these in your name and for your glory." And the king, the father, says, "Son, and I give them all to you." Can you see that scenario? I'm sure it's happened somewhere in history, but I didn't start earlier enough, and I didn't think hard enough about it. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will actively take back all of this world's power and glory and riches and wisdom and glory and honor and all of it. And he'll present it to God the Father. And God in turn will give it back to his Son. Verse number 13, we see the second doxology. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, here it is, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And here all of creation must agree. This is the conclusion. Just give me another minute. Here all of creation agrees, must agree, and will agree that all of these things belong to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. All of creation must and will agree. All of these things belong to God on the throne, and they belong to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the blessings belong to them. All of the praise belongs to them. All of the honor belongs to them. All of the glory belongs to them. All of the power belongs to them. All of the wealth belongs to them. All of the land belongs to them. It all belongs to God. And the world must agree, and the world will agree. I made a statement the other day on social media that you would have to understand there are a lot of glory-seeking preachers. And I pray to God that I am never one. I pray to God that I am not one. But there are a lot of preachers that seek glory. They seek honor. And they actively seek it. And they actively want it. And they actively try to get honor. And I said, I wonder if they're saved. If you can have a preacher that actively seeks glory and honor, if that person is saved, if they're saved, I wonder how it will be for them in heaven when all of the glory and honor and praise goes to one person, Jesus Christ. How will they be able to handle that? How will a glory seeker down here be able to handle that all the glory goes to Christ? But here, all of creation must and all of creation will agree. All glory, all praise, all honor, all power belongs to God on the throne and to His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that God and His Son, Jesus Christ, deserves all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. And in verse 14, the four beasts, after listening, after singing the song and listening to the two doxologies, the four beasts say, Amen. Amen. And the 24 elders fall down and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. So in conclusion, my suggestion to you is this. In the first doxology, the hundreds of millions of angels and the 24 elders and the four beasts say that Jesus Christ is worthy to take back by force the power, the riches, the honor, the glory of this world. And I suggest that He takes it back by force, gives it to His Father, and His Father turns around and gives it to Him. And all the world will say, that's right. It belongs to Him. And the four beasts say, Amen. Let's pray.